on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, people are being asked to look out for a blue Subaru Forester to help trace a woman who's been missing from West Donegal since Tuesday. There have been no new COVID-related deaths in Northern Ireland for the third day running. However, concern in County Derry following confirmation that a COVID-19 cluster has been identified in the Limavady area. The government is urging anyone who's a close contact of people with coronavirus here to get tested. The Donegal spokesperson for the Vintners Federation of Ireland says COVID-19 will be here for years to come and it's time to get on with it. She says it's vital the government release the guidelines immediately. Later in the bulletin, as usual, sports news with Oisín Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll also have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. And that will be following the sports programme at around 5:20. Good evening. People are being asked to look out for a blue Subaru Forester to help trace a woman who's been missing from West Donegal since Tuesday. 68-year-old Anna Donoghue is missing from the Anagri area. She's described as being 5'2" in height with blonde shoulder-length hair and of slim build. Her daughter Alice has been speaking to Highland Radio about the family's concerns.
We're very worried. My mum's name is Anna Donoghue and she went missing on Tuesday afternoon or early evening, and we haven't heard from her since 5:30 on Tuesday. So the Gardaí are involved and they've launched a media appeal, and we just want to reach out to anyone and everyone who might have seen anything regarding her location over the last couple of days to let the Gardaí know. Contact your local Garda station. She's 68 years old. She's a very smart woman, very intelligent. She's about 5'3". She's got blonde hair that's a little bit grey at the top because she hasn't been to the hairdresser since the COVID. She's gone in her car, which is a sky blue Jeep type car. It's a Subaru Forester. There's not many of them around. The registration is 162D8469. So if anyone has seen a lady that fits that bill or a car like that, if they could contact the guards. We're really desperately trying to find where she's gone because she's never done anything like this in her whole life.
And that was Alice, the daughter of Anna Donoghue, who's been missing from the Anagri area since Tuesday. There have been no new COVID-19 related deaths in Northern Ireland. For the third day running, the death toll remains at 556. 16 new cases of the virus have been reported. The total number of cases north of the border now 5,815. The current estimate of the R number is 0.5 to 1. That represents a slight increase on the previous figure. Meanwhile, there has been a COVID-19 cluster identified in the Limavady area. In a statement this afternoon, Stormont Health Minister Robin Swan said they have long anticipated and warned that clusters will happen. He urged everyone across Northern Ireland to guard against complacency, saying the virus is still present in our community and must never be underestimated. Meanwhile, the North's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael McBride, said that social gatherings in private residences have been an issue on both sides of the border. Here, the government is urging anyone who's a close contact of someone with coronavirus to get tested. Public health officials have raised concerns over a rise in outbreaks in recent days. They say they're worried that an increasing number of close contacts aren't taking up the offer of a test. Government official Elizabeth Canavan says there needs to be improvement in this area.
Testing is the foundation stone of everything we're doing in relation to this disease. If we don't know how many people have it, if we don't know where the disease is, we can't stop it spreading. So please, if you are asked to get a test, please do so.
The Donegal spokesperson for the Vintners Federation of Ireland says COVID-19 will be with us for years to come and it's time to get on with it. Alice Lynch of Maggie's Tavern in St Johnson is urging the government to publish the guidelines which would allow the remaining pubs reopen as a matter of urgency. She says pub owners need to be given ample time to prepare their premises and allow people go to pubs in a controlled, safe environment.
Definitely, we're a long way and we have to live with the virus. The virus is not going away. We have to take our precautions. We have to look to our customers. We have to keep our health safe. but we have to work with it. It's not going away. It's not going away for a while. So working in a controlled environment, people want to party. They want to go out, but they also need a controlled environment. So I would urge the government to do as much as you can. Get the guidelines out quickly, not 3 or 4 days notice, and let's move on and let's work with it. We're stuck with it for a while and just have to get on with it. The hotel bars are suffering as well, like, and it is hard on hotels, and especially people looking to get married and groups like that there. But we are where we are. The pubs are a controlled environment. The hotels are a controlled environment. So let's get more guidelines out and let's get slowly opened more. Mm. We really do need a stimulus package as well. Like, there's going to be a lot of businesses go to the wall. Pubs have been closed for 5 months. We're seeking to speak to the government officials and just move forward. Drink culture has changed anyway. We've moved on a lot. People still like to talk to each other. They still like to go out. You still like to engage in conversation, and you still like to go to a safe place for a nice quality drink. Pint of Guinness, whatever the case is, nice coffee, whatever it is, we have moved forward. Life has changed and we have to get on with it more.
Alice Lynch of Maggie's Tavern in St Johnstone, the Donegal spokesperson for the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Well, the decision not to allow pubs reopen next Monday has been described as crazy in the Dáil today. Tánaiste Leo of Radcar warned, however, there's no guarantee they will be able to open on the revised date of August 10th.
I've no doubt that the vast majority of publicans in our country are responsible people and people who want to open their businesses, and I want their businesses to open too. But I do need to be clear. What we're saying is that pubs and nightclubs will not open any sooner than the 10th of August. We're not saying they will open on the 10th of August. We're saying they will open no sooner than the 10th of August. And it will depend on the numbers and on how the virus behaves.
Well, responding, Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray, whose brother owns a pub, said the decision was a crazy one.
And what I've got many calls late into last night and very early this morning, people saying, well, how sure are we now that they're actually going to allow us, because they've broken their word to us already. You raised their hopes, which was a horrible thing to do. And the message that has gone out now around the world is, you can come in from a hot spot, but you can't have a hot drop.
Retail Ireland believes the onus shouldn't fall on shop staff to police regulations around the mandatory wearing of face coverings. The group is worried it'll put staff in the firing line for potential abuse if it's left to them to enforce regulations. Retail Ireland Director Arnold Dillon is hopeful that their concerns are taken into consideration.
What is really important now is that we put in place rules that reflect those concerns. And I think what we do expect, though, is that once people understand the rules, that there will be widespread compliance and hopefully these issues won't arise. But we just need guidance that reflects the unfortunate minority of cases where there could be a dispute in a shop.
The HSE's crisis management team in the Northwest has issued a stark message to people in the region as the easing of COVID-19 restrictions continues. They say complacency costs lives. The team is made up of HSE officials and representatives from health services and hospitals in Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Sligo and Leitrim. Public health specialist Dr. Anthony Breslin says clusters of COVID-19 cases have emerged throughout the country, one of them in Sligo. He says it's vital that people continue to adhere to public health guidelines.
It affects all ages, and I think the fact that we've done a good job nationally in trying to control it. Yes, we had a large number of deaths. Yes, we had a large number of positive cases. And at one stage, we had almost 400 people in ICU around the country. People cannot forget it is a serious infection, and no one can say that if someone picks it up, they're not going to get sick, they're not going to get very ill, they're not going to end up in hospital or in ICU or unfortunately die.
Other news, and Charlie McConnell has admitted he was disappointed when he was passed over for appointment as Agriculture Minister. The Donegal deputy and former Fianna Fáil spokesperson on agriculture in the last administration was one of the leading favourites to replace Barry Cowan in the job this week, but the Taoiseach instead appointed Dara Cleary. Deputy McConnell says he was in contention.
I knew he was very much in contention. You know, a very difficult situation with Barry Cowan, and very personally difficult situation for him and his family. And it shows you, you know, the scrutiny and the difficulty for people on a personal level. I mean, I think you have to recognise you know, Derek Leary is a highly capable politician and is deputy leader of the party. And certainly I know he was disappointed not to be a senior minister and leading a department 2 weeks ago, as was I myself.
The Transport Minister is said to be invited to Letterkenny to witness what's been described as the urgent need for investment in the local roads network. There are ongoing calls for outer relief roads around the town, with the need for the long-awaited Bonagie Link said to be proven further last weekend following gridlock along the main thoroughfare into and out of Letterkenny. Councillor Michael McBride believes a new government represents an opportune time to highlight the infrastructure deficiencies in the town and surrounding area. He says Minister Eamon Ryan should now pay a visit.
I think now is an opportune time for us as a county council or as a Letterkenny municipal council for to look for a meeting with Eamon Ryan, the new Minister for Transport. I think it's important that we highlight the deficiencies and the lack of roads that we have. I think if we take the town in Letterkenny alone, we're looking for outer relief roads, which are badly needed. We're looking for a new bridge across the River Swilly, the Bonagie Link. It's just really, really badly needed in town, probably highlighted very well last Friday when we had the 12th holidays. The town was at a standstill. And we go out to the rural areas. We're looking here this morning at a workshop about a range of roads from Fannad right out to Mainaroy and there in between through Trenta, Church Hill, back into Letterkenny. And we really need to highlight at this time to the Minister the need to fund our projects here in Donegal. I think we have a great lack of senior ministers on the west of the River Shannon, and my fear is that the money will follow the ministers. And what I want to do is to have a meeting with Minister Ryan and highlight how badly we need the funding in Donegal and make sure that we're kept at the front end of the queue where we need to be and where we should be.
Councillor Michael McBride. Well, Letterkenny is said to be suffering in the absence of a town council. It's now 6 years since town councils were abolished, and Councillor Kieran Brogan argues that's created a major disconnect between the local authority and residents in larger urban areas. Councillor Brogan has successfully passed a motion that a request will be made to the government to reinstate the town council model. He says enough time has passed to prove that Letterkenny is suffering as a result of its abolition.
There was a massive community buy-in as well from all the different residents' associations, from tidy towns. It was a huge success, and unfortunately since the town council has been abolished, I think there's a bit of a disconnect there that I would like to see restored again. So hopefully now when we have the new government in place that we can finally have town council situation back in Letterkenny again, and it's something that I look forward to working on, because everyone here locally knows how successful Letterkenny Town Council was. And that's evident right around the town.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
5:15, and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with Gaelic games, and championships played behind closed doors remain a last resort for the GAA. The government's postponing of progressing to phase 4 of reopening the country halts plans to resume outdoor gatherings. Crowds of more than 200 will not be able to gather until mid-August at the earliest. But GAA Commercial Director Peter McKenna hopes Croke Park can be at 30 to 40% capacity when championships start in October. Well, following that announcement yesterday, sport in Donegal is going to be severely impacted in the coming weeks, with clubs hit by reduced gate revenue. Only 200 will be allowed to attend matches until the 10th of August, and not the 500 which would have come in under Phase 4. It's a blow for the likes of Finn Harps, who have their first home match on Tuesday the 4th of August, while local GAA clubs who have championships starting in the coming weeks will also suffer financially. Fixture Secretary with Donegal GAA Ed Byrne has called on Croke Park and the government to step up to help the clubs.
At the moment, I know Shane Ross, when he was finishing up in his final days there, he announced an aid package, I think in around 80 million to the sporting organisations in the country to get them going again and to help rebuild. And I think it's important maybe that now Croke Park, if they can speak to the new government and ask them when, as of last week, I don't think there was anything new. I don't think Croke Park or indeed the GAA as a whole had been advised of any
measures that were in place as to how you can draw down on this package, and I presume it's the same for the other sporting organisations. What I would like to think is whatever we are to receive, that Croke Park would now, and those on our national management committee, I would like to think that they would certainly look at giving some sort of financial assistance to the local clubs and pay it directly into the clubs.
And there's more from Ed Byrne tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. I'll also be joined by Secretary of Fun Harps, Cathy Taff, Fun Harps boss Ollie Horgan on the fixtures, which were announced earlier this week. Ryan Ferry will run his eye over the highlights of the derbies in the opening weekend of the Regional League. Niall Callaghan looks at the resumption of the Ulster Senior League. And we'll hear from Joseph Duffy, who's back in the octagon this weekend in the UFC. That's the Score programme tonight here on Highland just after the 7 o'clock news. Cross-channel soccer, Manchester United will look to maintain their charge towards Champions League qualification when they play Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. That one starts at a quarter past eight. United are unbeaten in 18 games in all competitions, while Palace have lost their last five league games. Red Devils manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer isn't taking anything for granted.
You have to respect teams with the quality that they have. Well organised, Roy always sets his team up very, very structured and organised, and he's got individuals who can win games for him, both at the front, but also Van Aanholt, who scored against us there. He scored a few goals over his career.
Elsewhere this evening, Leicester City host Sheffield United at 6. It's Everton versus struggling Aston Villa, and Southampton play Brighton. Real Madrid could win a first La Liga title in three seasons tonight. Zinedine Zidane's side are away at 2 lowly Leganés, where a win will secure them the title. In golf, Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy and Graeme McDowell are all in action this evening in the opening day of the Memorial Tournament. McIlroy plays in a group that contains the returning Tiger Woods. The 15-time major winner hasn't played since February. Woods is lining out at an event without spectators, and he knows that it will be strange.
There's nothing to feed off of. Energy-wise, I mean, that you make a big putt, you make a big par, or make a big chip, or hit a hell of a shot, there's no one there. And that's one of the more interesting things, and that it'll be, you know, going forward.
The early leader at the Memorial Tournament in Murrayfield is Mark Hubbard, sitting at 4 under par. Finally, in rugby, fixtures have been confirmed for the Heineken Cup. Leinster's quarter-final against the Saracens will be played at the Aviva Stadium. The EPCR have confirmed the match will take place on Saturday, September the 19th, with a 3 o'clock kickoff. Ulster, of course, are away in their quarter-final, and they'll be in France taking on Toulouse the following day, Sunday the 20th, with a 12:30 start. That's your sport for the moment, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. Well, now, as it's the Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, it's been a busy couple of months for the Donegal County Executive of the IFA, behind the scenes in some respects. Indeed, this week they held their first ever virtual County Executive meeting. To find out more, I've been speaking with the Donegal IFA County Executive Chairman, Brendan McLaughlin.
Good evening to you all there and all your listeners there, Chris. No, this was the first time we had an online county executive meeting here, and it went well. There was a few teething problems, but because I think farmers have to know what's actually going on in IFA and what's happening on the farming scene, and we have to provide that service. And it was very important to keep farmers up to date with the situation here. But not all farmers could get online because maybe they're not aware of how to computer technology and whatnot, and maybe the phone as well. But we had a good start because our last county executive meeting was January, and then we had our AGM in February, and we were supposed to have one in March, and then the COVID came on, Chris, and that put things off. But no, it was between our liaison officer here and all the help of the office to get us through on this online session. But previous to that, we have online meetings with National Council and whatnot, and our regional chairs as well had conference calls, Chris.
Now, this was something new, but who knows how long we're going to be in the current situation and coming out of lockdown. No doubt there's going to be further meetings like this, and as time goes on and people get more used to it, this could become more normal?
This could be the normal, because we can bring people in from South Donegal as far as North Annishowen into this without having to travel. And that's a big positive. You know, when a farmer, especially on the farm at certain times of the year, it can get time to come in and go to travel maybe 20 miles to meetings and whatnot. But no, I feel this is the way forward. And also as well, when we're on this, Donegal IFA have set up a WhatsApp group to all our members there. Four of every branch is getting WhatsApp messages every day on their telephone, and keeps them up to date what's happening on the scene out there. Because at our county executive online there, we had our guest speaker there, Brendan Golden, and he was from home there, and we could see him on screen, and it was very good. And but Chris, we have to keep our distances. That's the problem, and you know, keep 1 to 2 meters apart. We're doing all this, so this was a great way forward on this situation.
Well, you touched on it there. Brendan Golden was able to link up. And in the past, Brendan, when you've had county executive meetings, traditionally they were in Raphoe, more recent years in Letterkenny. People came up from all parts of the country. We have had people, guest speakers from Cork and Kerry and Dublin. And this could, in fact, enhance your ability to have more guest speakers who, as you mentioned, won't have to travel. So going forward, one can take a positive look at this. It could actually improve the appeal of it, and also make it far more accessible to more people.
Oh, as I said before, this is a very positive way of doing things, because, you know, it's getting guest speakers on the day and on the time, and they have to book their meetings a week in advance. But now a man can give you a couple of hours, or a come on, the chair, national chair, can give him a 2 hours notice, and he probably could come on and talk to us. So that's a plus as well. But no, on county executive meeting, we touched on the beef situation, and we had Brendan Golden give us a talk on that. All through with board beer, all the issues with farmers had problems. Then with the sheep as well, we have a problem with the wool. We can't give the wool away. No one wants it because of China. As a matter of fact, on that night we had a motion going to Dublin that they will want the COVID payment on wool, because wool is not going because of the China. Majority goes to China, the wool, and that's because of the COVID. It hasn't happened. So I think farmers are getting from 5 to 10 cents a kilo for the wool now, and we would need a euro a fleece for our wool at least. But a man that had 60 ewes, he was getting 20 euro check or maybe 10 euro check for his wool for 60 ewes, and it was costing him 120 euro to get them clipped. So that's a big thing. I think we're going to put on a demand for something there to help farmers on that issue as well.
And then if we look at the way the weather's gone so far this year, Brendan, a great start to the year, but hasn't been too good the last few weeks. And who knows what's in store for the rest of the summer?
No, because usually when you get a good April or Christmas or May, usually people think that could be our summer. But when we were on the online last night, I was asking on Tuesday night, I was talking to the South Donegal members, and they were saying they had a lot of rain down there compared to the east part of Donegal. And they had double the amount of rain down there compared to Annishowen and up here around the Letterkenny area. And it's good to hear what farmers are doing. Farmers are complaining about they can't get their sides cut because of the weather down there. And we didn't know that. We heard it online, you know, that night. So it was good the way information was to and fro and up and down.
Now, online meetings will also benefit commodity committee representatives going forward. Just to explain to people, the IFA has representatives for various commodities, and they would normally go to Dublin maybe once a month or every 2 months. This could help them going forward, that maybe there'll be more meetings involving people from all over the country that will be centralised and will be virtual.
That's actually happening at the moment, Chris. All the commodities have their meetings from home now online, and they're, you know, they're made aware of it maybe a week in advance to get everything organised to meet the meetings, because they have to have their every county has their own problems. They have to bring that to the fore of the commodities what they're at, and that's a big plus too. And we're getting the information fairly well back quick too as well. But that's, you know, online's all right for a lot of farmers that's well used to the computer and whatnot, but I'll tell you, it takes a wee while to learn, but every time you do it, it's a plus, and it's bringing farmers on. But no, we have to there's a lot of farmers out there isolation, and I think phone calls come in a lot to them as well. And then the WhatsApp going out there to the four delegates at every branch with 30 branches in the county, and that's a help as well.
So it really is a network, as you say. There may be farmers who maybe struggle with the technology, or maybe they don't have a good signal in their area, but at least through the network of the 30 or thereabouts IFA branches in the county, a simple phone call afterwards can help spread the information, and it, maybe out of this the whole communications could even get better.
Well, definitely get better, because we are going to go on maybe the next time online, maybe trying to convert the phones coming on as well. So that'd be a big help, because when you're online, you can see each other on the screen, who's talking, who comes on, and it's well organised, because you can put your hand up when you want to speak, and then you can put your online thing to mute, and anyone's technology would know all that online service. But no, it's a very big plus.
And being such a big organisation, if ever there are teething problems or whatever, you've got the backing of head office, and I expect as time goes on, things will get more efficient.
Oh, very, very much so. As a matter of fact, you can do with less officers on the ground. You work with less staff maybe on this issue too as well. You have to have somebody organiser in Dublin there to organise this for us, and that happens too. And we're all, as the county chair, I'm funny, Chris, I'm busier than ever, because when the meetings were at home and you had no COVID, I wasn't as busy. But now phone calls is unreal. Every day I could have 10 phone calls a day and talking to farmers and issues. And funny, we're getting a lot of problems sorted out over the phone rather than going to meetings.
Just one other thing before we let you go, Brendan. The IFA president, Tim Cullinan, he has plans to visit Donegal.
Tim has been on the card this long time because of the COVID. We couldn't get him up, but now Tim is coming next Monday week on the 27th of July. He's coming up here to visit a farm. It's going to be a farm visit, by the way, because there's a lot of problems on the East Donegal on the ANCs. So he's come up here to meet the farmers on the issue, and probably some politicians as well to be there, because there are a lot of farmers appealed the case, and a lot of them was unsuccessful. And we are trying as IFA to help all farmers. We think all farmers should be on getting payment of ANC, especially if we're deprived Donegal area. We get the most rainfall here in Ireland in Donegal, and I think we need something secured in this issue. So Tim's coming up to give us a talk. As we spend the day in Donegal, apparently. We'll have more details later, what the times and whatnot's going to happen, Chris.
And that was Brendan McLaughlin, the chairman of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Looking at the weather forecast, and it'll stay mostly cloudy and humid this evening and into tonight, with mist and fog developing. Patchy light rain and drizzle in the west of the area will become persistent and heavier toward morning. It'll stay mostly dry in other regions. Minimum temperatures overnight 11 to 14 degrees Celsius, in light to moderate southwesterly breezes. Tomorrow, Friday, we'll see rain in the northwest extending southeastwards slowly during the day, becoming patchier in the afternoon. Maximum temperatures tomorrow 13 to 15 degrees Celsius, winds moderate to fresh and westerly in direction. Looking at the main stories in brief, people are being asked to look out for a blue Subaru Forester to help trace 68-year-old Anna Donoghue. She has been missing from the Anagri area since Tuesday. There have been no new COVID-related deaths in Northern Ireland for a third day running. 60 new cases of the virus reported, and confirmation of a COVID-19 cluster in the Limavady area of County Derry. The Stormont Health Minister, Robin Swan, saying they've long anticipated and warned that clusters would happen. He's urging everyone to guard against complacency. A similar message coming from the HSC in the northwest here. The government is urging anyone who's a close contact of someone with coronavirus to get tested. Public health officials expressing concern at the increasing number of close contacts who have been refusing tests. And the Donegal spokesperson for the Vintners Federation of Ireland says COVID will be with us for a long time. It's time to get on with it. Our next bulletin is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 16th of July. The death has taken place of Pat Eamon Boyle, Drumnasilla, Glenties. Due to government guidelines, the wake and funeral on Sunday are private to family and friends only, please. The death has taken place of Harry Clark, Brickfield Court. Due to government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Patsy McLaughlin, 487, Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Vincent de Paul, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. Due to government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are for family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Patrick Sheridan, Kilmacrennan and formerly of Glen Carrigart. Requiem Mass tomorrow in the Church of St John the Baptist at 11 can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. In compliance with government regulations, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and friends only, please. The death has occurred of Thomas Spruill, late of Foy Finn, Dunnyloop, Castle Finn. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment tomorrow are private to family and friends. The death has occurred of Mary O'Donnell, Five Points, Killybegs, née Livingston, Monaseed, Goree, County Wexford. The house is private, please. In accordance with HSC and government regulations, the funeral mass and burial are for close friends and family only, please. The death has occurred of Maria May Butler, née Doherty, 28, Dinnotty Close, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly of Dlack, Carndonagh and Heath Avenue, Salford, Manchester. Requiem Mass in St Eunan's Cathedral at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning can be viewed on www.churchservicestv.stunanscathedral.ie. In compliance with current government regulations, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Woodville Ward St Joseph's Hospital Residence Comfort Fund, Stranorer, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Margaret Connolly, Tully Bogley, Manor Cunningham. In compliance with current government regulations, Requiem Mass tomorrow is private to family and close friends only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Archview Residence Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Con MacDade, funeral director.